Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This just in, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score Football, pre and post game show co-host.
It seems like one of those years for the Bears where things are aligning. We talked about the beginning of the year, what's a goal for the Bears, and everybody was kind of saying 8-9, 9-8. Now we're saying playoffs, and then the way things are falling, Marshall, it's like, wait a minute, what could possibly happen? Does the good fortune keep happening? Does the Pope keep blessing the Chicago Bears?
He even has a signature beer.
Long Snapper IPA. The can, the artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so the artwork's great. The beer's great.
Patrick Manelli with Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
We wait for the courts with Patrick Manelli on this Football Friday here at the Broad Stop. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. And in case you're wondering where the crowd is from, we are live from the Broad Stop here at Raheemy Harrison Grody in Kenosha for the Broad Bowl ahead of tomorrow's game. The Brats have arrived. Mm. Look at this ridiculousness. We have a sampler of brats and cheese curds up here. Thanks to our friends with Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha for having us here. If you are coming by, we'd love to see you. Bring your new or gently used coats to donate to Ziegler Subaru ahead of Kenosha's annual coat drive. So, Patrick Manelli, thank you for joining us here at the Broad Stop.
It's Patrick Manelli, everybody.
I mean, this place is iconic. Who wouldn't want to be here? So to finish up the intro there, the brats are great. The cheese curds are great. Everything's great today. So, happy to be here, guys.
Everything's great. We have a wonderful crowd, and we've already gotten gifts. Doug from The Mob is here. You know him as Audio ID Kid. And our friend John from Pepperidge Farm brought gifts. The gifts are not important. The gift is you. So thank you for being here. We're happy to see everybody. I think we want to continue where we left off, the Inside the Locker Room segment. Mark Rohde, I told you to hold a thought.
So yeah.
Let's get Patrick Manelli in on this.
Well, Layla brought up all the pressuring that the Bears did the first time around against the Green Bay Packers, and obviously it did not work, and in fact it burned them more. How much of that do you take away from the game plan now heading into this game tomorrow at Soldier Field? That is, how much of the pressure, the blitzing, do you take away?
Yeah, I just think that's in Dennis Allen's DNA. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to bring it. I just don't know if it'll be as much as he did before. But if Zach Tom is out, that to me is the biggest loss they
have.
Christian Watson being out is big. He's obviously the deep threat. But Montez Sweat, the highest paid guy on the Bears defense, going up against a backup tackle. So if I'm Dennis Allen, I'm looking at him and saying, hey, you have to get pressure. I know they're probably going to chip you. They're going to try to stop you with two players. But we pay you a lot of money. We expect you to go against a backup to get me that pressure. And that's what I look at this game. I think it'll be less than it was before, but I still think that's just Dennis Allen's makeup, and that's what he's going
to
be.
It goes back to what Dennis Allen said earlier in the season before Montez Sweat kind of picked up the pace and started getting sacks on a regular basis. He said he's got to win his one-on-one matchup, and that was before there was a backup in the picture, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fact. And that's when you look at Montez Sweat and what he's getting paid, he's his production isn't there, in my opinion. I would want more out of him. Is he a darn good football player? Yes, but you're paying a guy to get sacks. You're paying a guy to be a finisher in the fourth quarter. He hasn't been doing that. So this game, this week, going against a backup, I don't care what their game plan is to stop him, he's got to be that guy. He's got to get after Jordan Love and cause some havoc. So I want to see what happens with, I think it's Kennard or whoever the backup tackle is, number 70. Gave up a sack last week when he came in for Tom. gave up a couple pressures. So I expect him to get after him a little bit. And I would think in that defensive meeting room, everybody's looking at Montez Sweat. I would be, if I'm on that team, saying, all right, this is a game where you're going against a backup. Produce for us.
Well, and Montez Sweat isn't just the highest paid player on defense. He is the highest paid player. And when you look at the math, it's $25.085 million for Montez Sweat. DJ Moore is next at $24.9 million. And if those two produce, not even to the level of the yearly salary relative to the rest of the team, I don't fault DJ for not being targeted. But if those two show up, this is a much different game as far as a confidence level on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think they have to start fast. I heard you guys talking about that earlier. I think that's the key as well. You can't get behind. They showed their resilience. I think us as Bears fans, we liked what they did in the second half. They gave them a chance to tie it or win it or whatever they were going to do, or if to go for two or not. But, you know, this it's another opportunity to see how good you are, but they got to start fast. And what I was thinking about is Ben Johnson always talks about we're going to play our best ball in December. And I understand guys are going to – rookies are going to play better. It's a first-year head coach. But when you get to December, you can't have the pre-snap penalties. And it seems like they've stopped those. They've limited those now. So the best ball is just being on time, doing all the small things properly. And that's what I want to see. I want to see them start fast. Unlike they did against the Packers, they had two penalties in the first two drives that backed them up to third and 15, and they couldn't convert. So to me, best ball is not having those penalties early on and converting those first downs and putting up points early and not getting behind the way they did.
The thing is about the Bears starts is that the Bears were slick early on in the season. The scripted plans were great. It was like, okay, can you do something beyond the scripted plays was the question that we were asking. And my question to you, Patrick, is there anything that you can pinpoint? Because we throw a lot of stuff around, things like he's got too much adrenaline going, he's too strong early, he's feeling it, maybe he's a little bit nervous early on. Are those real things for a football player early in the game?
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, that's true.
That's not just stuff we say.
No, I think you see it with his arm, his overthrows, his underthrow, all that kind of stuff. I think you see that. It's you know, and what I do like about seasons, they seem like there's ebbs and flows. So let's get back to those fast starts again. Right when
they were pretty.
Yeah, they were. Right when they get to the end of the season, they make this playoff push and maybe into the playoffs. But, yeah, I think adrenaline can be a thing. You know, you talk about how do you get somebody started? What is it easier to do? Run two out of three times on the first three or four plays to get a quarterback into his flow? Do you give him a chance to maybe run the ball? We talked about when Justin Fields was here, he got going right when he ran the ball. What is it that Caleb needs? Maybe him and Ben Johnson are still trying to figure that out. Whatever they were doing at the beginning of the year, it worked. Maybe it's just to start a little bit slower for him and not put as much on his plate early on.
We are at the Brat Stop here. Raheemy Harris and Grody and Kenosha with live studio audience.
You guys look great.
I do.
They look great.
Expanding. Everybody's so nice.
We've got a 54, I see. We've got a 23. Oh, yeah. Yes. Young man got a Devin Hester
Gale
going.
Gale Sayers.
Sean Gale, if you'd like to, for my olds. I always like to hear the olds.
I see the Alshon Jeffries. I heard you guys reference.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
I love
great.
It. I love
this
it.
Segment with Patrick brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. I want to talk about the defense, specifically the back end of that defense, the secondary. They didn't know that they were going to be missing Kyler Gordon when they were preparing all week for that game. And I'm not sure how much he was going to play, like how many reps he was going to get, what percentage of the snap count. But they know that they don't have him this week.
Right.
So now I'm wondering, what do you feel like they can do? Because they really are outmatched in a speed versus speed situation if Christian Watson is good to go.
Yeah, but it's Jalen Johnson, right? How healthy is he?
Can well, that's
he
the
get
question.
Back? And he talks about that he's going to be better as weeks go along. And what is this, week three he's been back? And I think last week, I don't know what his snap count was, but it was way higher. I expect more. And then you have Tyreek Stevenson back as well. No shot against McLeod, but he's a backup, right? Tyreek Stevenson started this week in this league for a while. So you have a very good backup if Jalen needs to spell a little bit. So I think it's up to Jalen Johnson. Hopefully he can get healthy. It seems like he's getting healthier. I mean, it was a heck of a pick he had in the end zone. I heard what Charles Tillman had to say about it. That's high praise when you get a cornerback like that praising you. But I think the answer is Jalen Johnson. I really do. I think he's the one. If he can play close to his level of play, then that'll help out that defensive backfield.
Well, and Patrick, I think it was brought up, and I forget by who, but talking about how it appeared like to the eye that Jalen Johnson was a little bit slow. Now you would assume, oh, it's because he's coming back from injury. But I think in this case, it was the step of thinking. You know, like this is this was his first time back. He doesn't have a lot of time with this defense in real time during games. You know, you can have that happen. What did you think when you saw how he was playing? Did you see that read time maybe factor in what you saw the first
time? I think that's why you have preseason, right? That's why you have preseason games. Some veterans need more games than others. Some need more reps, and now he's got his reps. And I do think health-wise, he just doesn't look as explosive. And I think mentally as well that it's all, you know, is it going to pull again? Is it going to hurt again? I think that's those are hurdles he has to get over, and it's happening. And the more you get through that, the more comfortable you get. And I think you saw that as the game went along as well, that he looked more comfortable. And it's just confidence in your body. Once you get out there and you can just play and you're not thinking about what you have, then he can play the level we're used to seeing.
One area I do expect it to change for this team compared to the first matchup, I think they will do a better job of tackling. And I'm not just saying that because Tremaine Edmonds is expected to be back out there. I'm saying I think the linebacking core has gotten stronger and stronger from a depth perspective all the way to those starters. And now T.J. Edwards has got a little footing under him. Playing a couple of games. Do you feel like what we saw in that 3rd-and-2 play?
Yeah, that's
the infamous play.
Yeah, that just went right to my brain as we had 4 or 5 guys missed. Javon Dexter went and just kind of, you know, a big guy like that doesn't go to wrap up. And I was actually watching tape earlier in the year. He did the same thing to a running back, and I'm like, why are you, you're, what is he, 6'5", 300, Mark, what is he, 6'5", 6'6", 330 or whatever? Just tackle him. Don't hit him, please. So maybe that's a teaching moment for him as well, and you'd hope that doesn't happen, but if I'm the coaches, I'm showing that play over and over. Guys, this is unacceptable. I'm bringing that one back. That's one, obviously, you coach on Monday after the game, but that's one you bring back during the week when you're in team meetings, or not team meetings, when you're in defensive meetings. You're showing that one. Like, this is unacceptable. We can't have that. And you set that standard that Johnson's putting out there, and just make sure, guys, can't have that anymore.
Patrick, it's obviously a big deal that neither Roma Dunze nor Luther Burden are going to play in this game, but I find myself not being as worried about it as I probably should be about it, and it's because of Ben Johnson.
100%.
I'm not wrong on
No, I agree with that, because if you look at the throws that Caleb makes, guys are schemed open.
Yes.
That is Ben Johnson. Yes, there are plays where guys get themselves open. Like Colson Loveland does a nice job of beating guys one-on-one. All the guys do. But most of the time, you see guys wide open in the middle of the field. Luther Burden last week, right in the middle of the field, a nice, 20-yard gain or whatever that was. So I don't have a problem with that. And here's another reason why. Zacchaeus has 35 starts. Duvernay has 25 starts. I think he started 13 games 1 year, I think, back in 22. And they're in their 6th and 7th year, I think it is. They're veterans. They're going to be ready to play. They're going to be in the right spot. They're going to do what's coached and what's asked for. And with Ben Johnson's scheme and the way he opens up guys just with his play calls, I think they'll be okay. So I'm not as nervous as or scared or whatever you want to call it as much as I would be, but I think they'll be okay. I think the drop-off will be a little bit, but not a whole lot.
Our segment with Patrick Manley is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. As a former player, when you hear people talk about being amped up for the game, and we know that the fans were during the game against the Browns. We know that the Bears talked about it immediately after the game against Cleveland. And then you hear a guy like Cole Kmet. Mark Grody played the audio a couple segments ago.
I heard it.
Did you hear that?
I heard it on my drive up here.
Yeah, so, okay.
You guys sound fantastic.
Well, I'm glad the signal goes up here. No, but I do want to ask, as a former player, what do you think when you hear all of this, and how do you put it together? Because it's not
really something we talked about. I kind of liked it. I was shocked a little bit. I was excited to hear what the answer was, because you guys set it up perfectly. And I thought it was interesting, because you learn in these moments, and you learn, like Ben Johnson's been talking about, a lot of these guys have not played in playoff games. This is their best record. This is the best December time they've ever played in December in games like this. You have to learn how to deal with that. And yes, you can amp yourself up too much, but I thought he had a very a veteran way about that answer there, that, you know, this is just another game. Understand it is just another game. It is the Packers. But listen, what we did last time didn't work. You can get too amped up in the first couple drives. So you learn when you get into these scenarios more often, and you learn how to deal with it during the week. You learn what a Thursday practice needs to be like, what a walkthrough on Friday needs to be like, what you need to do on Saturday, and how to get yourself mentally ready for a Saturday night game or a Sunday game or whatever these are going to be for the rest of December.
Did you ever? I forgot. I might even ask you. Have you played in the Saturday night game?
I can't remember. Well, I think there was two of them.
There's
right?
only two.
What
in
was
it,
the other
in
year?
History. It was 1970.
So no, I did not play in that one. Yeah, yeah.
He's like he's very long tenured. He's not.
I was
that
negative. I was negative five.
Yeah, the other one, and this is specifically Saturday night because the NFL in the 90s used to do the Saturday games too. But on a Saturday night, it's only the second game that a Bears team has had in franchise history. The other was the season opener in the 1970 season, a 24-16 win over the New York Giants, that courtesy of our friend Kevin Fishbane.
I mean, how fun is this, though? I mean, we talked about it a little bit on Tuesday, to have this for the city, the amp up, you know, people partying all day long, tailgating all day long, getting ready for the Bears-Packers, and it's a huge game. It's Mark, I heard you talking about Aunt who? What was her name? Aunt Rhonda?
Oh, Aunt Rhonda.
Aunt Rhonda, yes.
Yeah, so I think Aunt Heron went through my head.
Yeah,
it was.
No,
Aunt Rhonda. Barometer.
Yeah, Aunt Rhonda.
But it is. I mean, it's a huge game, and it's just fun that it is the national game Saturday night in the city. It doesn't look like it's going to be too cold. It's just going to be a great game, and it's a great barometer for the Bears to see how good they are. Ben Johnson's been preaching best football in December. Well, let's go.
Yeah, and for the record, Aunt Rhonda is in that select group of people, and they exist. We joke about these folks, but there are people like my precious Aunt Rhonda who, if the Bears lose twice to the Green Bay Packers, no matter what they do for the rest of the season, it doesn't matter.
I didn't think there were people around like that anymore. I thought that kind of passed by, but
no.
I guess there is.
We joke about it, but it's true.
I just don't understand. You win the Super Bowl, she's still going to be upset?
I think so.
It's like the Michigan fans. It's like the Ohio State fans who are mad that they lost to Michigan in the national title.
It's a tainted Super Bowl.
Know,
it's a
tainted. Okay, here's the thing. You're still going to celebrate it. You're still going to be on Michigan Avenue, but it will be a thought, right? It'll be, well, they did lose to the Packers twice, but you really don't care
what?
That
well,
much.
Aaron,
or they'll talk about the Packers game up there that Caleb missed the throw to, you know, we'll talk about it. It'll be a little subset
well,
of it.
Well, she told me, and I quote Aunt Rhonda, Mark, the season is on the line.
Well, I mean, look, I'll say this. The season itself may not be on the line, but the postseason and what you think you can do
sure.
in the postseason is certainly on the line, because if you win, it's definitely a split from if you lose. Those are two very different paths if and when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real test. And without Micah Parsons, they're still a darn good team. I mean, that's the thing. So this is a real test. And I don't know about you guys, but when you heard of – I'm gonna bring it up. When you heard about Micah Parsons' injury, what was your reaction?
Yay.
Okay.
you're relieved, but at the same time.
You got a yay up and down, right? The same yay?
You're relieved, but at the same time, you would like to see them face –
And it's just also it hurts football. I think when you lose greatness like that, you always just want to watch great players. I love watching the highlights on Monday or Sunday night before the Sunday night game of great players making great plays, and that hurts the league. But it was the exact same reaction as you, Mark.
I mean, how can it not? It's part of the game. It's the heartless part of the game. But
100%,
if we're going to sit here and obsess over every single injury report.
Like when Aaron Rodgers got hurt, I was like, it's all right with me.
Sorry about that.
At least he gets to come back next year.
Hey, ice that down, killer. Give me a call sometime.
Yeah, it's akin to the Aaron Rodgers thing. It's like, what are y'all talking about? Just get a dub.
Yes,
don't care whether or not Aaron Rodgers plays. Just get the freaking dub. And guess what? They got the dub, right? Yeah.
Well, what don't you like, Layla? You don't.
I wanted them to face Aaron Rodgers.
Oh
and
I was with you. I was kind of.
I wanted
face
him to
Aaron
feel
Rodgers.
Like he was 41 years old.
They can still face Aaron Rodgers.
They owe inflicting pain on Aaron Rodgers.
They can still face Aaron Rodgers
in the Super Bowl.
Marshall is very adamant.
Oh,
that the
I like
Steelers
that.
I'm so conflicted over that. Yeah,
Steelers. Like
Marshall is a Bills fan, and yet also is adamant about the Steelers going to the Super Bowl.
Listen, I know we got to get to break, but when we come back, I do want to talk to him about specifically the fact that the Packers have guys who did not practice all week but are questionable.
Right.
And Evan Williams, to me, I think that is the linchpin to their defense.
One.
I really do.
Oh, no, I think you're spot on, Marshall. So let's hold that thought. Let's get back to it with Patrick Manley. Nice enough to join us here live at the Broad Stop with all of you lovely facing. We've got a great crowd here at the Broad Stop in Kenosha for the Broad Bowl. We have cheese curds. Mm. We have brats on brats. Mm. Everybody's happy. Our segment with Patrick is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-Four Seasons. More with Patrick Manley. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios from the Broad Stop in Kenosha. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The School.
This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The School, and if we sound like we're somewhere else, because we are. We're broadcasting live from the Broad Stop in Kenosha for the Quad Bowl ahead of tomorrow's game. And thanks to our friends with Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha for having us here. If you're coming by, bring your new or gently used coats to donate to Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha's annual coat drive. And we are joined by Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear, former long snapper, and also gave out the Manley Award, Bo Gardner of Georgia, benefiting Bernie's Book Bank. I forgot to mention that in our last segment, Patrick.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, congratulations to Bo. It's always fun to have the nation's top long snapper recognized. It's about time we got a little recognition. We only get recognized when we have a bad snap, but we keep the award kind of quiet because that's how we go about our job.
Well, it's a wonderful event. I know Lawrence Holmes was the MC, yes. So I'm glad it went well.
Yes, it did. Yeah, Lawrence is great.
So, Patrick, I'm looking at this Bears running game and how proficient they have been. Mm-hmm. And we all know they had their national coming out party on Black Friday against the Eagles. But that was something that did start a little bit slower. And even after it got started against the Packers the last time, they weren't able to really get big runs. I'm talking about 20-plus yard runs, like super explosives. And a lot of people would argue that Evan Williams is a large part of that because he is a run-stopping safety. He hasn't practiced all week. He's listed as questionable for the game. How big of a boon in the offense would that be if Evan Williams does not play?
I mean, that's huge. You're missing – you got to go back, too, to Devontae Wyatt, who didn't play in the first game they played. He was injured the week before. So they did get the run game going in the second half, like you said. No Micah Parsons, and then you're losing your best run-stop safety. So – I think that is huge, and I'm sure that's in Ben Johnson's plan as well. And what's nice this week, too, last week when they ran the ball against the Cleveland Browns, everything was away from Myles Garrett. Now you have a run game. You can go left or right. So I think that's a big part of it. But Evan Williams, I mean, they're missing everybody everywhere, but they're still got good players. They still have Jordan Love, and I hate to say that they still have a darn good quarterback, and that can change everything in this game. We talked a little bit off the air. What scares you is the run game of them, but also Jordan Love a little bit. But to go back to Evan Williams, you lose a safety like that. Anytime you go to a backup, that's going to make a difference. And I'm again, Roshar and Ben Johnson, what they do with this run game is impressive. And you always like watching the game and seeing what they come up with because there's always some little different wrinkle every week.
Patrick, we all know you played for the Bears for a long time, 16 years. What was your first year?
1998.
So you've been a part of
a lot
of Bears-Packers game. I guess my first question about it is when did Bears-Packers start to truly, genuinely...
Week one, the first time we played them.
Really? It resonated with you that early?
It was put into our head when you got to Halas Hall. And then I remember going to play in Green Bay. I forgot what week it was of my first year. And there was a 20-minute tape that Coach Wanstead played of all the history of the Bears-Packers. And then that's when you started to get the real feel, knowing the game was the next day. And then Jeff Jaeger, who was our kicker at the time, said, normally the specialists or people that need to get to the game earlier, you get on bus one. He's like, get on bus two, because then you get to see the people tailgate more. You get to see and experience what Green Bay is like up there. And that was pretty cool. So I did get on bus two and saw the tailgates going on. It felt like a college atmosphere. You park in people's yards. You pay an extra $10 to be able to park and pee in their house. I mean, it was just so cool to see all this stuff. And
it's wild.
But
it was
right when I got there. It's ingrained in all everybody that gets there, and I'm sure it's still that way because the McCaskies just make you feel that way. it's ingrained in every head coach. I mean, Ben Johnson did it in his – I mean, we talked about it the first time they played. He did it in his opening day press conference. Obviously, Lovie Smith did as well. So it's just – that's just the way it is.
Well, I heard that there was rookie programming. I'm using quotes there when I say that. But that supposedly George McCaskey does teach the rookies to hate Green Bay.
Yes.
So I feel like it's really caught on. Okay, so you went through it.
Oh, 100%. It is. It's a thing. Yes.
What,
and I still
what happens?
And my daughter does. So that's a good – you just keep passing it on.
Is there a test?
Yeah,
what goes on in this programming?
You just see all the highlights. You learn about Jim McMahon being, you know, and the what's his name?
Charles Martin.
Charles Martin. Yeah. You learn about all that stuff. You see the videos of, you know, Walter Payton. You just – you get all the history of these rivalries, the fact that Forrest Gregg and Mike Ditka hated each other, the fact they – played at Milwaukee Stadium, what they were on the same sideline, and they, you know, would be separated. You know, they just couldn't stand each other. Just the history that goes all the way back to, you know, from Lombardi to George Halas. It's just always talked about, whether it's, you know, through video or through, you know, word of mouth.
And then I have to ask you, like, I would like to know that your the most significant games or favorite games you played against, but I imagine it's the NFC.
I've got one. I actually wrote them down this morning. I was going through some stuff. It is 2005, the year we won the NFC North.
Okay.
My daughter was born the day before.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of cool. So we're sitting there opening up Christmas gifts with my in-laws, and my wife is pregnant as can be, and she's sitting on one of those stability balls, and she looks up, and she's like, and I'm like, what? And she's like, we got to go upstairs. We got to talk. I'm like, what? I'm in trouble? What did I do? And she's like, I think I'm giving birth. I'm like, but I have a game tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
But I have a game tomorrow.
And it had been talked about. She was supposed to be born a week later. And so I'm like, all right, well, we're going down to Evanston. So we went to Evanston. She gave birth. And I called Tim Brame, who was the trainer at the time. And we were playing in Green Bay. And I think it was a 325 game. He's like, well, here's the deal. We're leaving in an hour or two from Halas Hall. You meet us up there. Tell your wife to hurry up. I'll have the doctors pick you up in the morning of game day. And they picked me up game day, drove me up to Lambeau. Obviously, my daughter was born 8:31, I think, on Saturday night. So they drove me up Sunday morning. We went up there, and we won the division. So it was pretty amazing. I had zero sleep when we won the game.
How did you play in that game? Like, where's your brain?
Adrenaline.
Yeah.
Straight adrenaline. That's all it was.
Because you're still on the high from the night
100%,
before.
100%. I remember getting on the bus after the game, and I used to go to the RVs and get a bag of beers like Santa and bring them on after we'd win for the guys. And I'm walking on the bus, and Dave Tobes, the special teams coach, looks at me and goes, man, you look like crap. Go home and get some sleep.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
And he never slept again.
No.
Not because you look like crap, but because there's been some questionable, we won't call them crappy performances, but we're a little concerned about Kairos Santos right now.
Yeah, it was funny. Olin texted me during the game. He's like, Kairos looks cold. And he goes out there and misses the 35-yarder.
Oh,
no,
he called it.
Yeah. Olin
so
knew.
He's seen what cold kickers look like, and that's unfortunate. I think there's still a reason why Jake Moody was here. Mark, you might know more. I just think there's something maybe that was going on in practice and in training camp or something that did not make them feel secure, that they needed somebody else. And this might be showing up a little bit. You know, he missed the bad dirty kick a couple weeks ago. He missed the 35-yarder. I love that that Coach Hightower is just honest. Like, we can't have that. We cannot miss that. Snap hold was good. We cannot have that. And maybe that's when they did the whole Jake Moody thing, I'm like, there's something going on here.
I think that there was, and especially, to go back, you just mentioned Richard Hightower. When that happened, when that signing occurred, when we started to see him in the locker room, and we asked Richard Hightower about it, he was completely defensive about it, as in, repeating, I'll say it again, this organization tries to identify good players and put good players into the locker room. Nobody wanted to say anything as it pertained to Kairos Santos, but that's just, to me, that's just symbolic of the way this organization is beginning to do business in a better way.
Doing it the right way now,
they're doing
right?
It the right way. Yeah, you can't have a kicker in this.
And you
got
to keep the confidence. I mean, the kicker, the 6 inches between the two ears is a lot. You know, you got to keep him confident. You got to keep him pumped up and all that kind of stuff. So I thought they handled it very well. But in the back, I was just kind of like, what's going on here? I've never seen this happen before. So
well, and to use a roster spot, when they injured players, you know, the secondary at the time was incredibly injured. To use a roster spot on that, you know there had to have been some sort of reason.
Yeah, let's just hope he figures it out. Like I said, I mean, you miss a kick, you hope to make the next 10 or 12 in a row. So let's make the next 10 or 12 in a row and see what goes on from there.
In a game like this, where we obviously know it could come down to a kick at the end, I mean, what's your confidence level right now?
He's done it before.
Okay. That's really into that.
I believe in him. Yeah. Okay. I just do wonder if he walked out there, man, this is only a 35-yarder of cold, and he missed it. I mean, that's fine. If you miss a kick in a 31-3 win, I'm okay with that. Just don't miss it on Saturday night.
Okay, worst experience playing against the Green Bay Packers. Did you write that on your list when you woke up today?
Yeah, I did. 2013 was my last game when we lost that game when Randall Cobb.
And I
kind of knew it was going to be my last game, and I took
I took
a picture of my pregame meal the night before, and I kind of just documented everything that was going through that day.
Your last game?
That was my last game.
That's wild.
Yeah, and I saw that because I thought for sure we were going to go to the playoffs. I was like, all right, I get to win my last game at Soldier Field. We're going to go to the playoffs, and that happened. And I walked off the field a little slower, took my pads off a little slower, took a picture of my locker. I still have like the day documented on my phone, and yeah, so that was the worst one.
Did you know you were going to retire at the beginning of that season?
No. My hip was that bad. I knew it, but it just continually got worse, and I had surgery at the end of the season, hoping to come back, but it just didn't take.
We saw Patrick pop up at the score more and more. That's why I was like, what's going on here? This guy's showing up in person.
Mitch, you need some radio hits? I'm ready to do this.
The side hustle becomes the main hustle. That's how it works.
Always thinking about the future.
But I think that's a good discussion, too, because this is the time of year, you know, December, where no team is 100%. And
right. We
just saw some of the biggest names in the league go down. You know, ACLs take out Patrick Mahomes and Micah Parsons. How much do you think about that at this time of the year? I'm sure as a former player, it's on your mind.
You do a little bit if you're out of it. Mm. If you're in it, you don't at all. I mean, because you're thinking about your offseason. A little selfishly, you're thinking about, I don't want to do rehab. And if you get injured this late in the year, it seeps into the next year, like you see with Micah Parsons and Mahomes. So, to be honest, you think about it a little bit. Just a quick story. I think Shane Matthews was our quarterback. We lost to Detroit. He broke his thumb. One of the last drives of the game, or the last game of the year. And I remember walking up the tunnel up in Detroit, and he was cussing. And I'm like, man, sorry about your thumb. He's like, no, I'm not going to be able to play golf for a while. It screws up my off season.
That's hilarious, man. Is that close to in the family of, in the category of Nate Davis telling me they had to go play ping pong?
A little bit, for this. But at least
now?
Shane was playing, right? Nate didn't play.
Yeah. I told you that story, right, Layla?
You told me. Patrick know?
I know.
Oh,
that
you know
story.
The Nate Davis
oh, yeah.
story.
We talked a lot about that.
Yeah,
one.
He told me he didn't have time to talk because he had to go play ping pong.
How bad is it when you're his age and you didn't get a job this year in the league?
Yeah, I mean, it's really bad. Well, it's just, you know, that's Ryan Poles. It's a swing and a miss. But I think right now what we've seen with what Ryan Poles has done, he's done a lot better than swinging and missing.
We don't have to talk about the draft, do we?
Is this comeback tour? We're watching it live, and I got to tell you, at least from a draft perspective, it's looking pretty good, the comeback tour for
Ryan
Poles.
Well, it is, because the plan we looked at, I didn't like it at all. And Olin jokes because he made a 7-on-7 team, and then all of a sudden now he's made a 9-on-7 team with what he did with the O-line. And then now you're looking at building that 7-on-7 team, you have two injuries at wide receiver. Mark, like we just said, I'm not that uncomfortable who they're putting out there.
Yeah.
They're putting guys that have 35 and 25 starts at year 6 and 7 who are pros, who are going to be in the right spot and do the right thing.
You know what it shows? And Olin was on this, of course. It shows that center has absolutely become as crucial as left tackle.
Yes. No, 1,000%, especially with a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That communication, understanding protections and where you need to go and it's huge, and I think that has helped Caleb's development as well and Ben Johnson's offense and learning as quickly as
he
has.
Who was a better quarterback, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, man, that is a
good question.
You
were up front close for both of them.
I was in awe of Favre because I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was more fun to watch. Yes.
I hated him.
Yes.
Because I was way more fan back then.
Yeah. I was more of a fan of Favre, and I got to know Aaron. I played golf with Aaron a lot when he was younger, so
really?
I got to know Aaron decently when he was younger. So that was more of just somebody I knew and played with, but Favre was, you know, if I got a chance to be a captain and be out there and just look at him, I'm like, that's Brett Favre. Oh, my God.
And not afraid to turn the ball over.
Yeah, that's true, too.
A billion interceptions his first couple years.
And I love, too, is the way he smiled. He played 1,000 miles an hour. He had fun. He was like playing backyard ball.
Yeah, which really angered me at the time, like in the Super Bowl that he just won the one Super Bowl, and he like ran 100 yards across the field. Do you remember that? Like
yes.
He looked like a little
yes.
kid. I was like
yes.
that mother.
One story I love is when Urlacher, I think it was his rookie. Yeah, it'd be his rookie year. Urlacher was on a blitz, and Favre was rolling out towards our bench, and obviously I was standing on our sideline a lot. He rolled over right toward us, and Favre looks over his left shoulder, pats the ball, and goes to throw it. Next thing you know, he's flat on his back. Urlacher crushed him.
Uh-huh.
Favre jumped up and looked at him and was like, oh, I got a new guy to deal with. He thought he had time to get that little extra pump and throw a deep ball. And Urlacher had that speed to get there. And that was a cool moment between, for me as a fan or being right there on the field, to see Brett Favre recognize Brian Urlacher and be like, oh,
that's
I've got to deal with this guy now.
That's a different cat.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I think I just got goosebumps.
Yeah,
wow.
That was pretty cool.
That's a fantastic story, just to have that observance. Mm-hmm. So we're doing our prediction segment at 1:45, but since you're here...
I don't have a score, but I just can't. I can't pick against the Bears.
Bears?
You can't pick
Bears?
Against the
Patrick
Bears.
Patrick has
Bears?
Picked the Bears.
Yes. Bears.
Broad stop crew,
yes.
Mob, in-person mob.
It's funny. You talk about the Bears injuries. I just think the Packers are so injured right now in key positions that, and the Bears are rolling. And I think Ben Johnson can take advantage of some of the injuries that are on the Packers side that he knows how to exploit them.
I like that.
Yeah.
The chest.
You have 100, I just looked it up, 100% approval rating from this crowd out here. As Patrick Manley, ladies and gentlemen, longest tenured Chicago Bear. He has seen it all. He talks about it all here on the score, and he has just picked the Bears to beat the Packers tomorrow night. How many of you guys, are you? Anybody going to the game
I'm going to pick a double-digit win.
Okay.
So you don't have a score, but you know one thing. It's going to be decisive.
Do you have to wait for our show?
I'll give you the
Sunday
score then, but it's going to be a double digit.
40-20.
No. By the way, if you want more from Patrick Manley before Chicago takes on Green Bay, boo. Tune in tomorrow from 4 to 7:20 for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, the man sitting up here with us at the Brat Stop, and Mully get you set for the game, and then immediately following the game, they will have an instant reaction on the post-game show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and a Turo Tire. All of it can be heard on the Score on the Odyssey app. Thank you for coming out today. This is great.
This is awesome. But, I mean, just this rivalry is amazing, and to be able to do this with the competing the fan over there as well.
They're awesome.
Little in the corner.
I like where they're sitting. Yeah, you guys, we get to sit up high. They're over there in the corner by the
much bigger
machine
stage.
We put baby in the corner is what we did.
That's
how we roll. We're on the stage
at
the Brat Stop. Somebody get that disco ball working. Coming up next here.
Are
on
you going to dance?
I think we should need to have just like some more flair. I feel like this place has so much flair.
You guys want to see Layla dance?
No.
Anybody want to see you guys ready? See Layla dance?
Whoa.
What kind of club do you think we're at right now?
I just got an evil
That's
eye.
That's on.
We are
roadie right there.
Hold on.
You're the only one here who is professionally trained to dance.
He has a point there.
And I am not doing that job for a living, in case you haven't noticed.
I'm not saying you got to do anything crazy. Just dance.
Hey, Grody, when you get your ribs, cracked rib, when you
ballroom dance. Yes,
ballroom dance.
Classy dance.
I hate to say it, but I hate ballroom. Like it was one of those dances that you learned, and you're like, no, I can't deal with the heels
more of a tap
and the
dancer
pointing.
Yourself?
I took tap for a long time.
See, you're a trained dancer,
professionally trained.
Yes.
No, it is, and to the Twitch mob, yes, it is way more fun to dance like Elaine. It's more fun to bad dance than it is to actually dance.
Not like Elaine.
Like it's way more fun to do kicks and thumbs and just do stupid stuff.
See,
than
listen
it is to
her,
dance.
The way she's talking about dancing.
And 2 or 3 beers.
She's got a little variety in her.
All right, this has gotten awkward. We're going to go to commercial. Coming up next, it is halftime, and we have a question in honor of the Brat Stop that we want everybody to participate in. So that is
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Next.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
Oh, it's not just any halftime, is it, everybody?
Mm-mm.
Everybody at the Brat Stop. This is a very special halftime here in Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. There's Hawk. Hawk is here from the mob.
Twitch mob is in effect. Look
at
the
Doug is here from the mob. We got the mob flag. Who else is here from the mob? Crazy Dave is here from the mob.
What's up, Crazy Dave?
Crazy Dave is our NBA guy.
You are crazy, sir.
This is Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And as you heard, yes, we are at the Broth Stop thanks to our friends at Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha. We are happy to be here. It's warm and toasty in here, and we're bringing energy. And we just heard Patrick Manley, the former Bear, joining us here live at the Broth Stop. He was here for two segments. And we have Henry Melton coming up. And I'm excited about that because I've known Henry Melton longer than Marshall has. How do you like that, Grody?
Well, it looks like I'm the only poor one that doesn't know Henry Melton.
But today you
and I
to
can
hang out.
Guarantee you I've watched Henry Melton play football with the Bears more than anybody.
Well, with the Bears, maybe.
With the Bears. Exactly.
I covered him in college.
I was going to say, I lose the rest of that battle.
So he's coming in here at 1 o'clock, and we have a great crowd here to help out, too. So we thought we would do a very special episode of Halftime.
It's but Halftime.
In this one, nobody's scared, and nobody's sad, and nobody's taking too many caffeine pills. We have a lovely spread, cheese curds, a brat sampler with some sauerkraut and cabbage and jalapenos. I have a jalapeno cheddar brat I'm very happy to enjoy. And we also have more cheese curds for our crew. So the question was asked, in honor of our hangout here at the lovely Broth Stop, what is your favorite game day food? Do you have a special game day food that you like
Mars?
To eat? Beer is not a food,
beer.
But we'll take it.
All right.
Bob has said beer.
Can I say two things?
Yes.
Okay. So number one, chili.
Game day
like
chili.
The chili when it's cold outside and you're getting ready and somebody hands you either in a thermos or a cup, a bowl, whatever form, the chili hits. If it's homemade and the maker is good, aka like Wendy Harris, my mom, chili is good.
Mm.
Wendy Harris makes good chili.
Shout out.
Shout out to Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Harris. Okay. Number two, wings. But not fried wings. I like them grilled.
Oh.
Delicious. Fall off the bone. Wings, chili, I'm good. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, this time of year, the game day chili is major key. But I do like just a Polish sausage with onions. Like, especially at Sox Park.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at the Rate. I love the Rate's Polish sausage and onions. So, yeah, the game day food came early for me here at the Broth Stop. Beer can be accepted as a food today because I'll allow it. Everybody's happy about
nice.
That.
I mean,
they've been drinking beer since, like, what?
I know. Somebody had a really nice Bloody Mary earlier. I hope that was as pleasant as it appeared. Yes.
Right there.
Our friend in the bear sweatshirt. Who's sitting next to our friend in the bear sweatshirt? Who's sitting next to our friend in the bear sweatshirt?
Yeah, there's a lot of Bears gear here. I don't think anybody's not wearing Bears.
I saw a Bears hoodie earlier. Oh, there it is.
There's another one. It is again.
There are many Bears hoodies in the house.
I guess I'll draw from my many experiences tailgating, for 4 hours a pop at Bears games. And it is. I probably should have gone first because you stole right from under me.
I stole?
No, you didn't.
I stole
but no, no, actually, that, I'll be positive. You and I are on the same page. There's nothing like chili. Like, especially, like, when you're tailgating and it's cold outside and you get that chili just with the right amount of spice, it is something to behold. Bratwurst as well. And I'll even throw in a little bit of knackwurst, too. It's not bratwurst, but also a little bit of knackwurst during a good tailgate is absolutely delicious as well.
Not only will we allow, we will embrace it.
We'll embrace it. Embrace it. And then, you know, if you're doing, I don't do this anymore. A lot of people know that about me. But, you know, you're out there, you're having fun, you're having a beer. A little pull from the bottle, a little tug, little sip, little Crown Royal, something like that as you're walking into the stadium.
I like how that elevated.
Yeah.
As you talked about it. A little Crown Royal.
Our friends at Remy Martin had the football after dark. That seems like a good little social sparkler for a game.
It's a bonding moment during a tailgate when somebody busts out a bottle. It's like, oh, and then you sort of go to your little corner. Everybody has a little sip, a little pull, a little tug. Everybody feels a little bit better, even though it's like 30 degrees out or
whatever
it is.
Fireball in the winter hits a different way.
Bingo. There is something about food and, quite frankly, alcohol that hits differently during a tailgate. Oh, because it's usually like in the morning.
Also, guys, I have a follow-up question to everybody who went to the game on Sunday. Did they really stop people from bringing in cardboard? Like, really? Because that seemed like such a good way to insulate yourself from the cold of the game.
I literally learned that at the NFC Championship game, Bears-Packers, in January of 2011. One of the coldest games that I'd been to is a person sitting in the stands, and I think it was my brother or one of my friends that said, here, put this cardboard box under your feet, and it's the weirdest thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? But it works. From what I understand, that there is a safety issue or with the boxes, as in people walking over the boxes when they are leaving or coming into their seats.
They slip and fall.
They get a little bit slick and people might fall. So it is, from what I understand, it is for safety reasons, not extra work and extra cleanup reasons. So there's actually, disappointingly, there's a logical reason for it.
All right, so votes are in for Polish sausage, for
Knackwurst,
for chili. Anything else that we would like to submit? Ray, you got anything that you would like to submit?
Ray doesn't eat meat, so...
I don't eat red meat.
Oh.
I eat fish. If we're doing tailgating and grilling, I love a nice grilled tuna steak on the grill. That's delicious.
Okay.
Classy.
That's delicious.
Sounds good.
Classy.
But if we're talking game time at home, I love pizza. I'm always looking for an excuse to order pizza. In the game, Bears game, perfect
pizza
excuse to order pizza.
Pizza is always on time.
That's right, man.
Yes.
That's right.
And if I could make cheese curds like this, that would be in, but I'd have to purchase them.
Have you ever tried to make cheese curds?
Like, no. And I gotta say, I didn't know about cheese curds until I moved here.
That's fair.
I am thrilled that I learned about this.
It is delicious.
The key is the batter. It's gotta be such a light batter to get the delicacy.
Yeah. Fresh cheese.
Fresh is the fresh?
Yeah, so that's a great, I think, addition to my repertoire, because, you know, I needed more food to eat. I didn't.
I say keep it coming here. I like as my dad used to say, eat a little bit all the time. Just be eating.
What if you eat a lot of it all the time? That's what I do.
A lot of it all the time?
Yeah.
I
eat bigger. Go big or go home.
Yeah, but you work out. So, he must work out. Yeah.
We have more coming up here as we've hit halftime here at the Brat Stop. We are broadcasting live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha for the Brat Bowl ahead of tomorrow's game. Thanks again to our friends at Ziegler Super Roof Kenosha. If you're coming by, don't forget you can bring your new or gently used coats to donate to Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha for their annual coat drive. Coming up next, it is time for 5 on It. We have 5 questions that apply, and unfortunately, one of them I think is already frustrating. We'll discuss it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.